Philip. We're here to discuss the ups, downs, and sideways of the sport of figure skating, and maybe give you plus 5 GUE along the way. Let's introduce this week's hosts.
Hi, I'm Gina. I'm at the point in my baby adult skating career where watching figure skating is an exercise in counting how many times I would have tripped and fallen on my face. You can find me on Twitter at 4A Twizzles.
Hi, I'm Neve, and I've been a mess of trying to follow US Nationals, European Championships, and studying all at the same time. I've never used so many window screens in my life. You can find me on Twitter at Riverdance.
Hi, I'm Evie, and I am still completely in shock from the ice dance results at this competition. Like, seriously, guys, what the hell happened? You can find me on Twitter at DoubleFlutz. Europeans, it's the championship time. Woohoo.
That happened.
I have no sleep schedule. This whole Euros was just a whole wild ride. Like, last season, I can't remember that last season was this chaotic. Surely it wasn't.
We had Javi managed to yeet himself the gold.
Yeah, Javi retired and everything went to hell.
Javi was the glue holding the European, like, federations together, basically, is what we're saying.
Javi, come back.
Well, now we're all just crying. Like, every year from now on is just going to be as crying as we just beg Javier Fernandez to come back.
Yeah, the last year was kind of a walk in the park in comparison to this year's mess. And, you know, I think a couple of us were kind of worried on the outset because, like Grand Prix Final, all of Euros was going to have commentary on the official ISU stream on YouTube. And that stream was also duplicated and given to other, like, outlets. Like, I believe NBC Gold used the same stream with commentary. I know here in SBS Australia, they were using that same stream. And I think we were all kind of worried considering what went down at Grand Prix Final and also at the Youth Olympic Games just about a week ago.
There was a whole debacle on Twitter about it.
Yeah, I mean, they said that they were going to, like, explore other options for commentators to try and find, like, the one that fit, like, the widest audience, which I think is a pretty, like, decent move. Maybe we'll get another different commentator for four continents and then another one for, like, Worlds. But yeah, the commentary here was actually pretty, like, I found it was pretty decent.
It was fine.
It was by Paul Alster. He actually commentates for SBS Australia usually, but yes, he covered all of Euros. I feel like the general vibe was that he was pretty much, like, generally inoffensive. Like, he wasn't that talkative or very loud.
He was just neither there or here.
He amused me with how, like, very British and, like, ruffled he was every time someone wore an outfit with any color or sparkle. The only annoying thing I found he did was calling the program components the presentation score.
That and the whenever he said, like, in regards to under rotations or something, and he said, like, oh, they're going to get a deduction on that. And then I got immediately confused because obviously deduction and under rotation are two different terms. And I was like, what?
Didn't he introduce Anna as Aliona?
Yes, in the short program. Yes, he introduced Anna Shcherbakova as Aliona Krasnaya, which is a little bit of a slip up. I mean, they both are kind of similar sounding names. You know, they both start with the A, but and they were skating back to back in the short, so I don't blame him that much. But it was just, at least he didn't, like, he did apologize for it. For the most part, I think that his pronunciation of the names was pretty decent. I didn't hear him, like, mess up too many of them, like, egregiously, to the point where, like, Chris Howarth was doing with, like, the Chinese names at Grand Prix Final.
And to be fair to him, some of the Russian names are tricky.
Oh, yeah.
So I think we should probably get started on talking about the actual segments of the competition, and we're going to start off by talking about the pairs event, which I think was probably the least cursed out of all of them.
It was just your generic pairs competition.
Yeah, I feel like pairs is usually the least cursed out of all the disciplines. So our podium here in gold, we have Alexandra Boykova and Dmitry Kozlovsky of Russia. In silver, we have Evgenia Tarasova and Vladimir Morozov, also of Russia. And then in bronze, we have Daria Pavlyuchenko and Denis Kudikin, also of Russia.
Surprise!
Surprise! It is a Russian sweep.
Russians winning at Euros?
Well, every gold was taken by a Russian skater or team here at this Euros. It was very Russian dominated.
I mentioned this to my mum and I was like, yeah, Russians have won everything. And she was just kind of, like, lounging on the sofa and kind of took a took a little sip of her drink and went, I thought they were banned from everything.
Yeah, and we'll probably go into talking about that as we, like, talk through the disciplines and stuff, because, yeah, that's definitely a thing that may happen in the very near future.
I have just realised that out of all of the medals, only two of them were not won by Russia. And only one of those ones is not trained in Russia.
That is true. I didn't think about that. Oh my god.
Morrissey's an Ettore.
Wow, Russian domination really at the forefront of this Euros.
And Morrissey used to compete for Russia.
Wow.
But yeah, I don't think it was really anyone's surprise that these three teams ended up on the pairs podium, because while there was quite a lot of talent in the pairs field, it was a lot of the European teams are kind of all stuck in the middle. Whereas the Russian teams are quite far ahead in terms of, like, their potentials for scoring if they're close to clean. I was so happy to see Boykova and Kozlovsky win here after the Grand Prix final and them just missing out on the podium. I feel like they really, like, earned their redemption both at Russian Nationals and here. They put together two of, like, the most complete performances we've seen from them, like, this entire season. I'm so proud. They are my kids!
Yeah, and, like, their throws, Jesus Christ, like, the distance and the height is insane.
Every time I see them, my jaw is on the floor. They're up there with, like, the top team throws, like, Sway and Han's throws or Peng and Jin's throws, you know, that kind of height and distance and running edge that you only see from the extremely high-quality teams.
It just looks so easy, and like, I'm obviously not a pairs man, but I can imagine yeeting a girl across the ice or a woman across the ice is not as easy as it looks.
No.
And they've just continued to solidify their place as the top Russian pair. Like, they were 30 points ahead of the silver medalists.
And like, especially considering like how, you know, last season they got bronze at Euros and then had a pretty decent Worlds, and now they've come into this season like ready to work, ready to get down to business, and they, you know, obviously had a cracker of a Grand Prix season and had a bit of an issue with the final, but they didn't really let that get to them. I really admire their mental strength in that regard, because, you know, obviously they've had such a good preseason and had a disappointment like that, and then just managed to bounce back, not let it get to them, and continue to skate like this. It's making me really excited for how Worlds is going to shape up if they're in this kind of similar form, and how they're going to match up against like the other teams, the other top teams in the field.
I do wonder how they'll score against a clean Sway and Han at Worlds, because their scores have been on a like steady upline since Shanghai Trophy, obviously apart from Grand Prix Final, but I would say their component scores are getting slightly too high, especially when you compare to like skaters like Peng and Jin are getting mid 60s max, Sui Han are getting low 70s.
I wouldn't say that their components are getting too high, it's just that Sui and Han and Peng Jin, they constantly get lowballed in program components. It's not a new thing, it's been happening for years now, and yeah, I agree that I'm also worried in that department that their scores, if like both Sui and Han and Boykova and Kozlovsky were clean, I could easily see at this point the judges like having a good enough reason to put BK in first, where I necessarily would definitely not agree with that. But Boykova and Kozlovsky are definitely in that position to challenge, not just for world medals at this point, but they definitely have the chance to get a gold. So I guess it's going to all come down to what happens in the next month or so leading up to Worlds.
We'll see what happens at Four Continents.
So in silver, we had Tarasova and Borisov, who were a little bit all over the place here, which has kind of been the theme of their season so far. You know, they've obviously got a brand new coach. They're training in a different location. They didn't qualify for the final. They didn't have the greatest Nats outing. I think the short especially, like, they were going so well. And I don't know about you guys, but I actually really, really like their bolero. I think it's probably the best short that they've ever had. But the mistake on the lift that they had nearly, like, it made me jump out of my own skin, basically.
I had to, like, look away during the replay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as soon as you could see that, like, he didn't get that proper like grip on Shenya's hand, and you could tell that he wasn't supporting her weight efficiently, and she just went down, and luckily she managed to save herself and didn't actually fall. But aborted lifts are never fun to watch, and I would much rather like go for the rest of my life without ever seeing one again, please and thank you. And the free was also just a bit of a mess. They like, again, Evgenia has been having constant issues this season with side-by-sides, and she didn't land either of them in the free here. And honestly, I'm starting to get really quite worried for them, because, like, we're past the halfway point of the season. We're into the championships, and they haven't really improved that much since September in, like, their overall consistency of their programs and jumps.
Yeah, I wonder how much of that, like, their shakiness is to do with the field getting deeper, with how many younger Russian teams are coming up, because not even... We have Pavlyuchenko and Kudakin, and we have Bykova, Kozlovsky, Mashina, Galiamov. We also have a lot of junior Russian teams.
Yeah, we have a lot of them that are going to be senior age eligible, yeah, in the next couple of years. Obviously, like, moving training environments, especially if you're moving country to country, which they have, because obviously they're working with Marina now in the States, that's a big shift to go through, especially when you're trying to compete at such a high level that they are. I don't blame them for being a little bit shaky and maybe a little less grounded than they have in the past, but at this point, I'm hoping, like, they spend the next month really focusing on their goals and, like, what they want to get out of this world, because I'm really worried they're going to show up in a similar state they have for, like, most of this season and come out with results that they might not be happy with.
I'm just kind of laughing because they still got silver.
Yeah, I know, we're talking about them like it's the end of the world, but they got silver.
But then I guess that just kind of shows you, like, what a good team they are.
The quality of, even if we're like, if you exclude like their side-by-sides or you know, the things that they have errors with, the quality of the rest of their elements balances everything out, because, like, their lifts are really, really nice. Their twist is awesome. You know, their spins are quite good too. And they're obviously, their components gets them to that extra mile. So, yeah, I'm really hoping they spend the next month, like, reevaluating their strategy, working with their coaches and everything, just getting everything sorted, because I think that overall, like, the changes that we've seen in them have been for the better. Like, the performance interpretation has obviously improved a lot since the start of the season. And yeah, I would like to see them looking a little bit more put together and ready to go at Worlds. And then we have our third place team, Pavlyuchenko and Kodakin, who are kind of firmly cementing themselves as, like, the top third Russian team, because obviously Zabiyako and Embert have not been competing so far this season. They're out with injury. And Pavlyuchenko and Kodakin beat Mashina and Galiamov at Russian Nationals and earned themselves a bronze medal here. So I think it's pretty much safe to say that they are currently in the top of the Russian teams. I think overall they looked a little bit more tentative here than we've seen them perform recently. Obviously they were quite tentative at the Grand Prix final, and they had a couple of errors there, especially in the free with Daria's extremely scary fall where she went completely legs up in the air on that step. That did not happen here, which was nice to see. I think that they were just looking a little bit nervous, especially in the free. I think that the lifts, which are usually really big highlights to them, they have some of the most, like, creative and interesting entries and exits out of, like, any team in the field right now. They were looking a little bit jumbled, a little bit clumsy in some points, which kind of detracted from the overall performance. But nevertheless, I'm still really happy for them. I hope that they're very happy with their result, because they were at Euros last year as well. They missed the podium there. But yeah, obviously a major Euro medal is a really big thing to be happy about. So yay. And then in fourth place here, we have the Italian pairs team of Nicole Della Monica and Matteo Grise, who, you know, they did pretty well considering the season they've had.
I'm not entirely sure how I went the entire season without realizing they're skinning to 50 shades. But I know now, I'm into it, I like it, it's a good program.
Honestly, I completely forgot about that. I just, because I it's been a while since I watched them compete, because they were, I obviously, we saw them last in the Grand Prix, and I didn't watch Italian Nationals. And so when I watched the short program, I was like, I do not remember anything about this program at all from the early season.
I mean, I'm sure I saw them during the Grand Prix.
Because they had a quite messy Grand Prix, because Nicole has had issues with injury for like during the off season and at the start of the season, and so during the Grand Prix they weren't like in their top form. They didn't qualify to the final, but I'm really kind of happy to see they're doing a little bit better now. Obviously the time off in between their last Grand Prix and Euros has done them really well. I really like their free skate, their performance of the free skate, even if it wasn't clean. I just really like Pilgrims on a Long Journey. I think it's a really beautiful piece of music. And the fact that they continue to keep with their matching bodysuits theme and
yes.
the free. I love commitment to fashion. It's the best. I know they didn't have them last season with their Tristan and Isolde costumes, where Nicole was wearing like a dress and Matteo was wearing like a long sleeve shirt and pants. But like the season before in the Olympic season, I vividly remember that they had like matching blue, green, pink stone bodysuits.
Yep. You cannot forget those bodysuits.
They're so good. How often do you see fans teams with those kind of bodysuits where they're both exactly the same? It's fantastic.
Yeah, I will confess, I do like it when a pairs man bothers.
Pairs men get it. They're not afraid to wear sparkles. I'm like Ice Dance men who, you know, their entire wardrobes are just black mesh shirts at this point, honestly. No, pairs men know how to have fun. But yeah, I'm really glad that Nicole and Matteo had a good Euros here. Like, even though they weren't kind of at their peak form, they've still got some room to grow. You know, they're probably hoping to peak at Worlds, which, you know, if you're gonna peak, that's probably the time you'll want to do it at.
I'm glad to see them continue to solidify their place as like one of the top non-Russian teams. This is their second year in a row just placing off the podium at Euros, and this was with mistakes in the free.
And we got some quick shout-outs for the pairs event, some notable entries and performances. And the first one is Minerva Fabiana Hasse and Nolan Siegert of Germany, who had a career-best finish of fifth here, and they really used their momentum from the bronze medal they got on the Grand Prix at Cup of Russia to have some really solid skates here, and I'm really, really happy for them. I think they're a definite up-and-coming team in the overall pairs field. I think this has definitely been their breakout season so far, and I'm excited to see what they'll produce next. And also just a quick shout out to Miriam Ziegler and Severin Kiefer of Austria. They were skating in front of their home crowd here, and they brought back their 500 miles short program, which has been it's one of my favorite pairs short programs of all time. They did it during the Olympic season, and I'm just like, yes, I am ready to bop. This is all I need out of my pairs programs, an excuse to bop.
Nothing else, just a bop.
Nothing else, just bops, baby.
No pops, just bops.
No pops, just bops. Shall we go on to the men?
We had Dmitry Aliyev in gold for, drum roll, Russia. Silver medal was Artur Danilyan of Russia. And Marcy Fihalashvili of Georgia.
Honestly, the ordinals for this event were so whack. I remember looking at the entire results page after the fact and seeing that literally everyone but the guy in last place shifted from like the short to the free. That's what you say, like, that's chaotic. That is the epitome of chaos in general. Oh boy. Oh, yeah, this, it was certainly an event, one that are parts of which I would like to forget immediately.
I was watching it in work, so I'm there, I'm on my computer, I'm doing my work, I'm casually watching, and then the depression just hit, and I just made, like, 5 mistakes on, like, my work, and was just like, this day is terrible.
When the skating depression hits.
Yeah, and like, Europeans men was a real kick in the face as well. Like, that short program, you were just like, yep, this is the tone set for the entire competition. I was on my bus home just, like, staring into the abyss. Like,
staring out the window going, what is the meaning of life? What does it all mean?
As the rain gently hit.
The black and white music video aesthetic.
Celine Dion plays in the background as I look into the middle distance longingly for the return of my sanity thanks to the men's short program at Europeans. Yeah, and honestly, the fact that this was the first event of the entire competition, it made me so depressed because it was just like, I was really excited for Euros and I was just like, this is going to be great. Like, it's championships time, baby. I'm always excited for those competitions. And then the men's short happened and I was like, I don't want to watch the rest of this. Can I just go to sleep and forget everything happened? Yeah, the short was very upsetting. We haven't actually mentioned it yet, but...
Yeah, why was it upsetting? Let's say it together. 3, 2, 1.
Kevin! Unfortunately, Kevin Amoz of France did not qualify for the free skate, which we'll go into more detail about his performance in a bit. But I think we should start off with something a bit more happier, more positive. Let's talk about our new European champion, Dmitry Aliyev, who has taken over the crown from Harvey after, you know, a huge chunk of time with just Harvey as the champion. And now we have a whole new champion, and it's Dima.
Look, at GPF, I was ringside during both of his programs, actually. And that bit where he just, like, noped out of his spin was right in front of me. And I saw just the look on his face and how you could just see it was written in his eyes of just, why am I even skating? Like, I just want to go back to bed.
Honestly, I haven't been a fan of his Sound of Silence free for, like, the whole season. I think it's been just kind of, I don't think he brought the intensity in the performance that the music kind of needed. But here, I think he really delivered. I think he really went above and beyond, especially like once the first couple of passes were out of the way, the quads were out of the way, he could kind of relax a little bit. You could see like during the steps and stuff, he was allowing himself to outwardly kind of express, and just watch him kind of come out of his shell was really nice to see. And then especially when he was crying in the kiss and cry. Oh, God.
Especially because, like, last season was such an awful season for him. Like, from being fifth at nationals, not making any of the international teams, to winning Euros with a margin of over 20 points.
It probably helped that all of the other men were kind of a mess as well.
Yeah.
But that kind of lead is so impressive.
Yeah. And like, his name's always come up in discussion, especially after his short at the Olympics, but he's kind of failed to capitalize on some of the opportunities he's been given, if that makes any sense. But it's nice to see that he looks to be in a good place going into the second half of the season. But it'll be interesting to see the battle between him and Sasha Samarin for that top Russian spot, because Sasha had the better Grand Prix, but since then has kind of struggled with both nationals and here.
Yeah, Sasha came in 10th here, and overall, he's looked a lot more nervy here in Russian nationals than and the Grand Prix final as well, in comparison to what we saw on the Grand Prix. And yeah, it's a little worrying.
It's such a shame, because I was just starting to like him, and as soon as I was like, oh, I actually kind of like Samarin, he just starts having a really hard time, and I'm just like, no.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely not Samarin's competition here. I hope that this medal for Dima will give him, will bolster the confidence that he's already built up from having such a good early season, and that will hopefully carry him into having a really good Worlds. Let's talk about our new collective son, Arta.
I love him.
He really is capitalizing on his really great performance at Russian Nationals and just using that as fuel to propel him, like, all the way to silver in his first, like, major senior international competition. I'm really just so impressed with him because, like, he had a really good junior Grand Prix, but and was really close to qualifying to the final. Unfortunately, he and Daniel Grassel were tied in points, but Daniel won the tiebreaker because he got first place at the Italian junior Grand Prix. And so Arta just missed out. He was first alternate. And then, you know, he bounced back. He got silver at Russian Nationals, and he got silver here. Oh my God.
I'm here for it. I like adopted him during the Grand Prix and I nicknamed him my drama son. His short program's just full of drama hands.
He's free used to be as well, but he did a gladiator free skate for the Junior Grand Prix, and then like before Russian Nationals he switched back to his La Traviata, which he used last season, which got him on the Junior Worlds podium, which honestly I'm not enthused about this change because I really actually quite liked his gladiator free, and I think his La Traviata is a little bit less complex and a little bit more junior-y, like in terms of expression. It's not very like varied in terms of like the way the music plays out, but I'm just really impressed by his consistency so far this season.
Arta has already been selected for the Russian Senior Worlds team along with Dima, but I'm interested to see if they'll also put him on the Junior Worlds team since assignments aren't due out until the end of Junior Nationals next week.
I don't think I would want to see him do Junior Worlds and Senior Worlds back to back, just because, you know, that's a lot of pressure. It's a lot to do.
Didn't Daniel Grassel do that last year?
He didn't go to Senior Worlds. He went to Euros last year as well, and Junior Worlds.
I know Matteo Rizzo done that, though. He went to, like, everything.
Yeah, Matteo went to everything in that one second half of the Olympic year. Yeah, Matteo did everything.
But it is nice to see him prove that he can hold his own with the senior man.
Yeah.
Especially because he's still young. He's still only 16.
I hope that, you know, obviously meddling at such a big international senior competition is going to give him momentum out of the wazoo. So yeah, I just really hope he manages to capitalize on that. All right, let's talk about Morris, our surprise bronze medalist here.
Yay, good for him.
I don't know, Morrissey, he's just like a kind of sentimental fave of mine for like, I can't even pinpoint the reason why I find him so endearing, but I just do. I think it's mainly because he's really, really tall. And you don't see a lot of super tall skaters like outside of pairs or dance. And so he's quite like, he's got a very imposing figure in comparison, especially when you're like looking at him versus Arta, who is he's quite small. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know why, but I really have come to enjoy his short program, even though it's kind of like a bit like off-brand Bublé elevator music. I don't know why. I bop to it every time it's on, and then I get it stuck on my head afterwards. It's really enjoyable. His free kind of has a similar quality. I don't quite like it as much, but
we are very different people.
You bop to it?
I bop to Confessor every time.
I think Morrissey, like, was one of the kind of surprise placements here, and then also you have, like, other skaters like Daniel Grassel, who did really, really well. He came in fourth here, which is really good to see, especially after the fact that he didn't have the greatest Junior Grand Prix final, which was really sad because it was, you know, it was a home Junior Grand Prix final considering it was in Italy and he is Italian. And he had a lot of boot-related issues back then as well, and it looks like they've kind of resolved themselves a little bit. That doesn't mean that his jumps don't still scare the hell out of me, but
I mean, I think Daniel's problem is that he's got really long limbs. He looks like a stick insect. Like, he's just so long. Watching him is kind of awkward because, like, his spin positions tend to look kind of odd because he's just got so much limb.
Yeah, especially because in his spins, he does a lot of hyperextension and kind of unconventional positions, which some of them can look really cool, and then other ones make my limbs hurt just thinking about attempting them. He did have a couple of under rotation issues which kind of have been plaguing him all throughout the last couple of years, but yeah, his technique does scare the hell out of me, especially with his in regards to his quads. They continue to scare me. They will always probably continue to scare me because I honestly don't see them improving that much, considering how hard it is to change your jump technique once you've learned it and like committed it to muscle memory. I'm really glad to see that his like the performance side of things is also improving. I think that the experience at the senior level and being around all of these other competitors that are, you know, really proficient at providing a variety of expressions really has helped him improve his skating overall. And yeah, I'm really excited to see what he's going to bring for the rest of the season because he's definitely a wild card. All right, let's talk about the saddest thing that came out of this entire competition, even though I know none of us want to.
Get the violins ready.
The saddest moment to come out of the entire season, let's be real.
Yeah, let's talk about Kevin Amos of France, who unfortunately did not qualify for the free skate here after having a truly horrible short program. It was one of the hardest things I've ever had to watch.
It was just kind of, I was watching it and I was like, okay, one fall, that's fine. We can work with that. And then there was the pop.
Yeah, after the axel, I was just like, oh, Jesus. It was like, the amount of, like, pain I felt watching that was akin to, like, Boyang 2018 Worlds free skate level of pain.
It felt a bit like a car crash.
Well, for one thing, like, his score in general, obviously he placed below the cutoff line for the free, which is the 24. But he still got the third highest PCS in the entire event, despite having one of the lowest technical scores, which is, you know, valid because I think, even though he had the issues with the jumps themselves, you could see that he was still trying to throw in as much of his, you know, performance ability, his steps, his spin.
You could tell he was just trying to fight for every point at that point, and I was like, oh.
And I'm going to throw it out there, you should be able to do that. I would prefer that there is a clear and definite delineation between the technical score and the PCS than one affecting the other. If his technical score caused his program components to bomb as well, I wouldn't really be happy with that because they're two different things. And he really skated his ass off to get those program components, and that really speaks a lot for his attitude. And I respect that. And I respect the judges for being like, yeah. But yeah, I just feel really sad for Kevin. Like, it's really easy to forget that he's still pretty young and he only had his breakout season last year. And even last year, I don't think he immediately got that attention. So that the attention, the pressure that comes along with having that breakout came really fast, and it's still really new to him. And I can only imagine how stressful it must be to go into a major competition like Euros, and it's the first time going into a competition like that with people looking at you as gold medal potential.
Yeah, with people, he was definitely in the conversation, like not just here, but also at Grand Prix Final, and in the conversation for the podium, and in this case, conversation for the title itself. And at the final, he managed to kind of use all of that, like, pent-up energy kind of for himself. Like, he skated that short program that was just crazy and out of the box. And what, like, obviously the situation with what's happening with the French Federation at the moment and the, like, scandals that have gone on in the last month in relation to some of their athletes, and especially at the rink that Kevin trains in, I definitely do not blame him for, you know, potentially feeling not 100% after everything that's gone through. It's probably been an extremely stressful situation for him. And so I really hope that this doesn't affect his mental game going forward.
I mean, he might benefit from it, because going into Worlds, that pressure might be off, because I think it was really hard. It must have been really hard to go into Euros having just won a medal at Grand Prix Final, which is not something he really expected to do.
Well, he didn't expect to make Grand Prix Final, never mind medal.
No, I imagine the pressure was really on, even without, like, whether or not he knew people were having the conversation of him winning. Whereas having a really rough Euros and going to Worlds, it's a different feeling. He'll be able to kind of go up thinking, okay, I need to just have a good skate to redeem us off of Euros.
Since he's had this, like, bad competition, he can use it for the future, and, like, it's just kind of a learning curve on how to deal with that pressure and expectation.
Taking that kind of bad experience, learning from it, learning how to adapt your mental game, the technique that you use going into a competition, trying to make yourself better out of a bad situation, is really, you know, the mark of a strong athlete at the end of the day. And I hope that he takes that kind of as a really, you know, good learning experience and come back stronger than ever for Worlds. And we just got a couple more quick little shout outs for the men, some people we really enjoyed.
Dennis!
Yay, Dennis!
I love him. I love his short program. I love art.
Honestly, I saw him, like, here about a week ago. He announced that he was having injury issues with his ankle, but he was still planning on competing at Euros, to which I was like, boy, please do not, like, further injure yourself by competing here. I don't want to see you get seriously hurt. Luckily, he had some, you know, pretty decent skates for him in both the short and the free. So luckily, you know, we didn't really have to worry about that much. But please, Dennis, go home, go rest, put your feet up, literally.
Make yourself some muffins.
Bake some goods.
I got another shout out for Mark Gorenitsky of Israel. He had a really amazing short program here. This is his senior debut at Euros. He was competing on the Junior Grand Prix this season. And he is really, really charming. His landing positions on jumps are some of my favorite out of the entire men's field. He's got really, really nice extensions. So yes, if you want to bop and have a good time, I recommend checking out his short program because it's very fun. And also just a shout out to my French son, Adam Siao-Himfa of France, who went from 24th in the short to 11th overall after his really great free. So yay! Yay for Adam.
Yay!
Okay, so I do maybe want to say that maybe, possibly, the ISU might want to consider a re-evaluation of base values for quads. Because, personally, I think all the toe jumps should be at a lower base value than the edge jumps when it comes to the quads. The Vassal is debatable, but definitely the value from lowest to highest should be more along the lines of, like, the toe and then maybe the Vassal staying more or less the same, then the flip and the Lutz, and then the next highest base values being the quad loop at the highest value for a non-axle quad. Like, along the lines of, like, 11 to 11.5 for the toe and Vassal, 12 to 12.5 for the flip and the Lutz, 13.5 for the loop, and then 15 for the axle. I think that would be more reflective of the different levels of difficulty.
Yeah, basically going back to the same order that was kind of in the scale of values around 17, 18, you know, and the season before that, because the loop was originally valued higher, and then they decided to switch it up.
I just think the Lutz is being really overvalued. It's now one of the most common quads. I think it's possibly more common than the Vassal. You've got people who don't have a triple axle doing quad Lutzes.
Yeah, for those who don't know, who might have missed out on the earlier groups of the men's short, Larry Lupulova had his program layout was he had a quad Lutz, a double axle, and then a triple Lutz double toe, which was the most confusing layout of this entire event.
I mean, awesome. I loved it. Very entertaining. But
clearly someone is good at their Lutzes.
And you do see it quite a lot now, like the junior men, the junior girls.
The senior girls.
Yeah. Like, they'll have the quad Lutz, but they don't have the toe or the Vassal or any other quad, just for Lutz. And it's like, well, I get why you would maybe go for the Lutz because it is so highly valued just for base value, so it really pays off to go for it.
Yeah, if you're gonna go for a quad, you might as well go for the one that's worth the most points. Like, I get that, but you're risking so much by training a quad Lutz, especially if you might not have been, like, prepared to train a quad in the first place, or you don't have much experience of it. You know, we don't have a lot of, like, long-term medical studies on, you know, the effects of training and performing quads in, like, the long term. And, you know, just the amount of injuries you see from men and also ladies nowadays from the effects of doing quads is, you know, can be quite terrifying. We've certainly sat through a lot of injuries. And at this point, I'm worried, especially when you're looking at smaller federation skaters who might not have this, like, the same access to the same level of training or care that others from bigger federations have the access to. I'm worried about the fact that they could potentially get injured just due to the fact that they might not have the kind of, like, resources available for them to be able to learn things in a safe environment. You get what I mean?
Yeah, because, like, a lot of rinks, they have to call in the harness operator. They don't just have them on staff, and you only have a certain amount of time with them. And if you're from a smaller federation and you're from a smaller rink and you don't have the funds available to get a harness operator in for a long period of time, you could be training that quad off harness before you're ready to train it off harness. So it's really dangerous. And I mean, with the Lutz, we have seen some really nasty injuries from it. And it is worrying. I do think it is all overvalued with how common it is in the field now.
Yeah, especially considering that this season, this year is a Congress year. I am interested to see if they go, like, what the conversation is going to be around quads, especially considering how much the field and the use of quads has changed just in the last 2 years since the last Congress. I'm interested to see if there's going to be any sort of, you know, approach or discussion taken about the use of quads. Let's go on to talking about the ice dance.
In gold, we had Victoria Sinitsyna and Nikita Kotsalapov from Russia. In silver, we had Gabriela Papadakis and Guillaume Cizeron from France. And in bronze, we had Alexandra Stepanova and Ivan Bukin, also from Russia.
Oh my god, guys.
What happened?
I cannot wrap my head around what happened here. I'm looking at this whole dance event just slack-jawed going, what the hell? What the hell?
I took a nap and I woke up and everything was on fire.
Pizza fire gif, basically. So yeah, this is Papadakis and Cizeron's first non-gold medal since Pyeongchang. It's actually the first time since the Grand Prix final in 2016 since they have not won a free dance, which is crazy.
That's impressive.
It's an impressive streak that they've upheld, yeah. But, yeah, this whole event was definitely something that I don't think, like, any of us were expecting, because especially through the last season, it's always been a given. Papadakis and Cizeron have entered, they're going to win. You know, it's a no-brainer. Overall, the scores, comparing Papadakis and Cizeron and Sinitsyna and Kotsalapov, the scores were really, really confusing. I mean, the rhythm dance, they basically got the exact same score. They had the exact same base value. It just came down at the end to grade of execution and PCS. I honestly was not expecting Sinitsyna and Kotsalapov to win in the free, considering the season they've had so far with the free. Oh boy, I'm holding my head in shock, just like, what the hell has happened, guys?
Also, like, Papadakis and Cizeron's response to coming in silver is a little bit
concerning.
Trying to step upon the middle podium. I kind of hope it was just a joke that just didn't land.
I honestly think it was just like a honest mistake of hers.
Was she just being ditzy? Was it a joke that just didn't really come across very well? It's hard to know.
At this point, I'm just like, there is so much hate for them out there at the moment on the internet that I just, at this point, don't want to contribute to any of that. I don't want to automatically expect the worst from them.
But like, if you ever think is like Cizeron reposting some article claiming the judging was unfair because judges were advised not to give out too many 10s in PCS. I don't think that's a great look either. I do think that 10s should be rare and you should only get them if you earn them. There have been a fair few instances where I think it could be argued that the skater did earn 10s, didn't get them. I don't think this is one of those instances.
In saying that about the 10s in PCS, if it is true that the judges were directly told not to give 10s, that's kind of a clear sign of corruption in the sport. Like, whilst 10s shouldn't be given when not deserved, judges should be able to give them if they feel the program did deserve them.
I think just going into talking about a bit more in detail about the scoring, even without comparing both teams to each other, like, Sinitsyna and Kotsalapov, their 131 in the free is really, really surprising, because like I said, this free skate has not been doing as well as I think they would have hoped throughout this whole season. That, like, this program, the judges have, like, consistently not been liking it as much as previous seasons' programs. They've lost with this free, like, a numerous amount of times. They've won overall in some cases, but, you know, there were some minor cosmetic changes over the last month. Obviously, they had the issue with the slide in the final, which caused them to get knocked off the podium. They've fixed that. Now their weight is not so far forward on that particular part of the slide, so they're not in danger of losing balance, which is, you know, it's good. It's good to make those sort of changes and, you know, negate any possible falls. But overall, the program is pretty much the same in, like, layout, in construction, in choreography, apart from the slide. It's pretty much the same. It hasn't really changed throughout this entire season. But now, all of a sudden, it's being looked over really favorably, and the only real change that's happened over the past month is the fact that they're now two-time Russian champions, which I don't think that's enough of, like, a bonus to warrant this kind of shift in the scoring or placements. like, especially when it comes down to PCS, because they won PCS in the free over Papadakis and Cicerone. And while PC weren't clean in the free, they had a major issue in the one footstep sequence where Gabby stumbled out of the double twizzle in it. And she briefly kind of went on 2 feet. And that's actually grounds to have the whole sequence invalidated. The judges actually weirdly called it, the technical panel for some reason called it as a pattern type step sequence, which is an element for the rhythm dance. I don't know how they got that confused. They must have pressed the wrong button on their iPads. But it took a while for the tech panel to argue about what best to give them. And their scores took like ages to come in the free dance. It was like about 8 minutes or something in between the time they finished their program to the time they got their scores, and it was just the worst kind of wait. It felt like it was never ending. I was watching it live, it was just so nerve-wracking. But the judges, the panel just settled on giving Gabby a level 2, so not counting those steps as valid, and so not contributing to the overall level for that section. So they got away with that in that case, with not losing out on about 10 points from that invalidation. So they were lucky in that respect. Yeah, they weren't clean. It was definitely the messiest performance of this free that we've seen so far. But even with that being said, like, I would argue any day that they should be winning in PCS. They are, even though Sinitsyn and Katsalapov are really strong skaters, like, their skating skills and basics are really good. Like, PC are the top of the field right now. They are, no question, they are the class of the field. And even on a crappy day, I would still probably put them ahead. And the fact there was only, like, 1 point difference in base value in the free between the two, and yet the judges put Sinitsyn and Katsalapov on top, is just kind of mind-boggling to me, considering how Papadakis and Cicerone have been scored for, like, years. Let's go on to talk about a little bit more happier things. Let's talk about Stepanova and Buchan and their bronze medal here.
Yay.
Which is really great to see. I was honestly worried that they would be knocked off the podium, because the fight for bronze had the potential to get pretty close. But I'm glad that they managed to get up on the podium with their free skate, because they continue to be free dance skaters. That is where their strengths really lie.
Please learn the fin step.
Yeah, honestly. Fin step has been a problem for a lot of teams this season, and they are no exception. It's getting better.
It's getting there.
I think that changing Sasha's hairstyle in the rhythm dance has helped somewhat with that. She's now got her hair in like a ponytail instead of a full-on updo, with less pins, so less possible problems like what they had with during the Grand Prix, which is what I like to see. But their free dance really propelled them onto the podium here. I honestly didn't think like I would love a Justin Timberlake program this much, but here we are.
You know what? They make everything work. They made Beth Hart work as well.
They do. Looking towards Worlds for them, like, obviously the competition at Worlds is going to be a lot different than it was last year, with the changes that we've seen in the field composition and the scoring, like, trajectories for certain teams, and how much the field has kind of shifted and fallen into place this season. I'm worried how they're going to fit into that, because they've been a little bit more, like, they've still been as clean and consistent as they have been last season. It's just that their scoring hasn't really changed that much. Like, especially, I think their components have been, in comparison to the other top teams, a little on the weaker side, where I don't agree with that. I think that they should be scored a little bit higher. I want them to drill their fin step, guys. Drill it, please. Because if they skate a good rhythm dance, they could be in the conversation for a world medal. So please, guys. Yeah. And I think that, like, another really good part of this event was the fact that Guinart and Fabry kind of had a little bit of a comeback, because they didn't make Grand Prix final this season. And I'm glad that the extra time off kind of meant that they had that time to polish their new Greece rhythm dance, which I still don't like as much as their old rhythm dance. I think that was far better in terms of, like, composition and choreography. Like, Greece is okay. I think it's definitely improved since we last saw it, but like before them in the rhythm dance, Smart DS had just skated and they did their Grease rhythm dance, which is infinitely better than Guinard and Fabry. But yeah, nevertheless, they skated that program really, really well. They were like only one of two teams to get a clean finstep, which is, you know, completely kind of predictable. Guinard and Fabry have some of the best skating skills in the entire field. They are probably the most technical skaters out there at the moment. And so hopefully they can capitalize on that momentum towards Worlds. I'm just, honestly, I want to go up to them and just yell and go, why did you change your rhythm dance? Please tell me why. We never got a good answer, please.
Yeah, why did they change it?
They never said anything, like, to the press, I believe, about why they chose to change it. They just showed it to NHK with Grease.
I mean, in fairness, Grease is bop.
If they were younger, maybe it would have worked. But they're, like, both in their 30s now.
Yeah, but so was the entire cast of Grease. The rhythm dance is really hard to make engaging because everyone does the same thing, basically.
Yeah, they have the same theme and they have the same chunk of choreography in their program. So, yeah.
At least this year's rhythm dance theme is a little bit more open than when it was just like Latin. When everyone had the same friggin' music and I wanted to die.
Despacito.
I also really wanted to give a shout out to Maria Kazakova and Georgi Revia of Georgia, who are our reigning Junior Grand Prix final champions, who made their first appearance here at Euros, which is very surprising because you don't see, obviously, a lot of junior teams go into seniors at the same time, because obviously, unlike other disciplines where it's not that hard to do both at in the same season, in dance, when you have different patterns for the rhythm dance, it's kind of hard to do both. You either need to have two separate rhythm dances, completely different ones, or you need to like completely re-choreograph it to fit a different pattern, and that is what they did. They re-choreographed their rhythm dance to fit finstep. I did not expect them to place super highly here, and they didn't. They only placed 14th, but I am really, really like proud of them for even taking the chance on competing here, because you know they have to get their name out. They skate for a smaller fed, especially when politicking comes into play so much in dance. I really just love watching them perform, and I really can't wait to see them perform at Junior Worlds. Overall, this ice dance competition was really hecking weird. Definitely the strangest of the season.
The quad.
But, you know, we all have to obviously keep in mind that Worlds is going to be in Montreal this year. That's the home of the Ice Academy of Montreal.
Yes.
And I think that it'll be interesting to see how that and the politics around it being there will play out, like, in regards to the placements. Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting world, to say the least. Let's go on to talk about the last discipline, ladies. In gold, we have Aliona Kostanaya of Russia. In silver, we have Anna Sherbakova, also of Russia. And then in bronze, surprise, surprise, another Russian, Alexandra Trusova. The exact same podium that we had just last month at the Grand Prix final, making a repeat here at Euros.
Let's be real. This is going to be the podium for Worlds as well.
Honestly, it's probably going to be the same, like, three of them, but you know, there's always the opportunity for a bit of a shake-up in regards to who places where. But yeah, this ladies event was interesting, to say the least, especially with the tech panel here, because I kind of had a little bit of high hopes when I saw that Shinamano was on the panel for ladies. I was like, ooh, this could be interesting, because as most people know, he is quite a well-known member of a technical panel. He is got a reputation for being quite strict in his calls. And that was kind of playing out in the fact that, like, the first six groups or so of the short, which honestly, going into Euros and looking at the entry list and, like, the start order and seeing that there were seven groups of ladies in the short, and I was just like, ah, yes, this is Euros.
Yeah, when I started watching ladies on my lunch break at work, and then by the time I finished work, had the hour and a half bus journey home, and got home, it was still going.
I'd went to like 2 lectures and whilst Ladies was still on.
It's so long. But yeah, like through the first like 6 groups or so, the panel was being pretty harsh, like, and fairly so. The calls were being pretty consistent. And then the last group started and that all kind of went out the window.
It's as if someone just kind of like kidnaps the tech panel.
Yeah, it was just a little bit of a shock going from pretty strict and even calling, like fair calling, to where are calls? Who are calls? We don't know calls.
What's a call?
There are no calls here. I don't know them.
What's an under rotation?
The highly ranked Russian ladies could benefit from that kind of feedback too.
And especially considering if you look at the total scores for the top 3, the fact that they're all like 210 plus, and then the next person, which is Alexia Paganini, who was just over 190. I'm just like, they could have been afforded to get a few more calls.
It's the ones that are scoring that are gonna naturally score lower are getting called to make their scores even lower. And the ones that are already going to score higher than them, even if the ones that were scored lower weren't called, aren't getting called. And it's like, they're still gonna win if you call them all.
Yeah, like, this is often my problem with a lot of questionable judging choices, is that it tends to be giving people who would have won anyway extra points for no reason.
At least it seemed to be a little more evenly strict in the free, like, at least in regards to under rotations, there weren't that many edge calls amongst, like, the top ladies, but there were quite a few, under calls, so at least that was a little bit of a plus.
We'll take what we're given.
It's interesting to look in comparison to last Euros how Aliona's winning score here was like 27 points higher than Sophia's winning total last year. Let's go on to talk about Aliona, who is continuing her streak of gold from all of like her international competitions this season, because the only competition she's lost so far has been Russian Nationals. I continue to be extremely proud of her and how consistent she is. This is kind of like exemplified, like the fact that if you have a really strong short, like technical short program, you could kind of set yourself up to be a little bit less stressed about the free and having like the possibility to like have a mistake but still be okay, because that is what happened. She did have an issue on the last jumping pass in the free, the Lutz, she fell on that. But even with that issue, the technical score overall in the free and then how well she did in the short overcame that, and she was still managed to place ahead of Anna.
Aliona, being so dominant this season, has restored a little faith in the judges. Not a lot, just a little.
I think that overall, this competition, like both the short and the free, were a little bit more like tentative than I've seen her skate in a while. Especially during the free, she looked a little bit more nervous than we've seen from her lately. I think like the fall that she had right at the end kind of knocked the wind out of her a bit, going towards like the climax of the program, you know, with the choreographic sequence. And she looked a little bit less engaged with the performance that we've seen. That doesn't mean that the program wasn't great overall. I mean, I still think that that triple flip, triple toe, right on the music is like the best thing in ladies skating at the moment this season. It's my favorite jumping pass, especially here when she hit it right on the beat of the music and it was just perfect. I love it. It gives me chills. I really hope that she continues this trajectory up until Worlds. It's going to be a real test, I guess, of her mental game and how she will adapt to how everyone else has kind of been skating lately. Because obviously we have Anna, who has kind of been a bit of a surprise this season with how consistent she's been.
It'll be a test of Aliona's mental strength going into Worlds as the one to beat, like her first senior Worlds.
Which is probably a very daunting kind of mental like place to be in. But yeah, like talking about Anna, her short program has really grown on me over the last month. I don't know why. It's just, I kind of used to think it was a little bit too dark for her. The same kind of issue I had with her free last season. But I think her expression just over the last like month or so has really improved. She's a lot more engaged with her facial expressions. And that's really good to see. But like, that being said, I mean, we talked about the tech panel being massively, you know, inconsistent in that last group of the short. I don't agree with the score she got there. Her Lutz loop is, like most Lutz loops, are quite on the borderline of rotations most of the time. And hers was no exception at this rate. I probably would have called the Lutz under, if not the loop as well. They were both pretty borderline. I probably would have called it under. So yeah, I don't agree with that. I still would have put her second overall.
She also probably has the most natural flexibility of the three of them. I just wish Danielle would let her hold positions.
Don't we all wish that for all of Danielle's choreography?
But like, talking about like the mental games and like preparing yourself for skating programs and stuff, I'm really quite impressed with Anna in the way that like she didn't skate a clean freak here. She fell on the second quad Lutz, but it didn't really seem to phase her much. Like, she skated pretty much near clean after that. She had a few under rotation issues with some of her jumps in the second half of the program, but apart from that, it really seemed like she didn't let that fall kind of throw her off her game, whereas last season she kind of had the similar issues that like skaters like Rika used to have, where they would have a mistake and the whole program would kind of start to fall apart from there. So I'm glad to see that she's managing that a little bit better. Gina, would you like to talk about Sasha?
Yeah, Trusova's short program is my favorite of the season, at least of European girls. It's definitely my favorite short program. I love the contrast between the two music cuts, even if the cut is kind of terrible. I actually think how jarring it is works, because it's like the expectations versus the reality of Trusova. You see her and she's this tiny little girl and you think, oh, it should be really pretty, and then actually like it just really works for me when the climax of Hall of the Mountain King starts to hit and she's just like got her weird arms and she's skipping towards the judges. It just cracks me up every single time and I love it. So she's really grown on me this season despite having issues, and I just really respect her as an athlete. Like, you see when she's practicing and when she's skating, you see just how athletic she is, and that all of that power she has when she skates just comes from her developing and using muscle. And it's like she's seen problems that other people in Atari's camp have had and has decided that she's not about that life and is going to put the work in now to really develop a stronger physique so that she has a better chance of a longer career, which is really vital considering that her coaches are putting a lot on her and are throwing her into quads.
That bit all being said, like, her planned program content continues to scare me. Like, there was the return of the listed triple axel in the short, and also the potential of her trying a five quad free, which is terrifying to think about.
It's too much.
There's no need for it.
Neither of them ended up becoming a reality. She had the issue with the axel in the short where she kind of stepped out of the exit on the double axel. And she attempted three quads in the free and fell on two of them. I'm glad that she took out the sal in the free, because that has been a constant, in a constant state of anxiety for the last couple of months, because she just has not been hitting it, but refused to take it out for like the last couple of competitions. So I'm glad that she's not risking it, because the last couple times when I've seen her do it, the falls have been quite scary, considering the entry curve she uses goes right in the direction of the judges and the board. And so every time she falls and gets close to the boards, I'm just like, no. I don't know. Out of the three, like Anna, Aliona, and Sasha, I'm probably the most worried about Sasha, because I really don't think that this season has been the kind of season she was expecting coming into, you know, it's her first year as a senior, and she came off of being, you know, the unquestioned kind of front runner of the junior ladies to being someone who has had these inconsistency issues all throughout the season. And I'm really hoping that that doesn't affect her mental game going into Worlds, because obviously if she's on top of everything, she has the chance to not only medal but to win. But we've just seeing her have these issues throughout this last couple months, I'm just really kind of worried for the state of her skating at this point.
I think this is the downside of the quads that we've not really discussed as much as like the possible physical implications, but it's the mental implications as well. She's a really young girl, and while she was still in juniors, she was made out to be the quad girl, and they give her these plan contents of 5 quads in her free, and that's a lot of pressure, and she's expected to be consistent, as all of the Yateri girls are, and have these jump elements that are difficult. She can't be consistent and have 5 quads.
Yeah, and like you said, with the Yateri girls are always kind of expected to be consistent, like the environment in which she's training, the environment of that camp, the way that the girls kind of react to placements that they weren't necessarily expecting, like especially when you look at Russia nationals last month and how Aliona and Sasha talked about how much they regret how many mistakes they made in their frees and their like programs overall, and how downtrodden they felt, even considering the fact that they both skated really well there, and you know, they skated programs that would have gotten them on the podium at pretty much any event out of like the entire season, and did get them on the podium there, but they talked about it like it was the end of the world almost, and they had the same kind of downtrodden expressions here in the Kiss and Cry. Like Sasha, especially after the free skate, she had that same kind of expression, and I constantly worry about that kind of mentality where you're doing as much as you possibly can, but is that enough, you know?
Yeah, it's not good when they can't take any achievement if they're not perfectly clean.
Exactly.
Like, she'd score higher if she was doing less quads, but landing them, which is what's, like, even senior men aren't doing a triple axel and 5 quads unless you're Nathan Chen.
You have to kind of also remember that it's not just that they're doing quads, but Ateri's camp really likes also overpacking the transitions. No shade to Nathan, we all know it's true, but the reason why he can do consistent quads the way that he does is that he doesn't have a lot else going on in the programs.
Yeah.
Which is a fair strategy.
Honestly, if I was Sasha's team, I would probably, like, taking out the quad cell is a really good start. Honestly, I would probably take out the quad LUTs at this point. Even though the rate of success has been higher this season than it was last year, I think her quad toe is the best of her quads that she currently has. Just, you know, not just the height, but the distance she gets. The landings are usually the cleanest out of all the quads that she has. And her combos also look really good when she does them with that.
Even if they don't take out the quads, they could do the flip side and simplify the programs a little bit more. Give her time in between the jumps to actually refine her skating. She is lagging behind in skating skills. And I think Danielle's style of choreographing where everything is rushed and nothing is held and nothing is refined between the elements isn't helping her, and it isn't helping the elements either.
There's no need for her to be doing 6 different high kicks.
All she needs to do is carry on stomping up to the judges and threatening to punch them and I will be happy. She doesn't need 25 rush steps between every jump.
Yeah, I just really hope that this doesn't affect her going into Worlds and that she can hopefully put out a season's best there, the performances that she can be, you know, happy with that we haven't seen throughout the last month or so. But let's go on to talking about something a little bit happier. Can we talk about Alexia Paganini from Switzerland? Because, oh my god, I'm really, really proud of her.
She done so well.
She had a career best finish. She placed 4th here. She returned to her old free skate from last season, her La La Land, which I think really works for her. There's something about her skating that's really just like pleasant and eye-catching. She has the same kind of energy, and I think it probably helps that her free skate is also La La Land, but her energy kind of reminds me a bit of Marin Honda's, where it's that kind of, you know, playfulness, cheeriness, that smile, you know, that really draws you in. It just really highlights that sense of playfulness in her skating, both of these programs. But yeah, this was such a good competition for her. I'm really, like, especially happy that she managed to have a mostly clean free after having a really, really, really strong short, because we've seen from the last season or so, whenever she's had a really good short program, she's then had issues in the free. Like, during one of the, I can't remember exactly which one, during one of the Grand Prix last season, she came, like, placed in the podium in the short and then unfortunately had issues in the free, which got her out of medal contention. And that happened again at Euros last year, and I saw her skate in the short here, and I was like, ooh, I hope she manages to pull off a good free, because she has a really good chance of placing well, and
lo and behold,
she did it! I'm really happy for her.
Also a shout out to Annie Peltonen, who was fifth, which is a career finish. Yay! It's just really nice to see, like, the Finnish ladies rise, because we had Vekka Madel last year, and she's out with injury at the moment, but it's nice to see small feds do well.
Especially because Emmy did not have a good early season. She came last at Cup of Russia, and to, you know, rebound and learn from those mistakes that she had and come back ready to fight here at Euros, it's just so nice to see. And, you know, when she is on, she is on. Mm-hmm. Like, her triple toe combo in the short was just like chef's kiss, amazing. The height she gets on it, like, is insane. She could jump the boards practically with the height in her triple toe. It's amazing. I'm really happy for her. But yeah, I think just rounding off this whole discussion of Euros in general, I think it's really interesting to just think about the Russian sporting field, not just in figure skating, but in general. And the fact that obviously we had every one of the gold medalists here was Russian. A total of 10 out of 12 medals were taken by Russian skaters here at Euros. But, you know, you think about what's happened in the last couple months in regards to the Russian Federation and its relationship with sport and doping, and how it's very likely that in the near future that Russian athletes could face sanctions or bans against their inclusion in events, or that they're going to have to compete under a neutral flag like at the Olympics. And I don't know, it's interesting to see not only how the Russian skaters are excelling in these events, but the way that the Federation is kind of branding them, like PR-based stuff. The fact that Russian Nationals was all free to stream with English commentary by Ted Barton. It was accessible internationally, so people could really, you know, watch and get invested, form that emotional attachment to those skaters. And now you watch them here at Euros winning so many medals, really making the case to themselves that so many of these skaters are the top in their fields, or, you know, some of the best in the world. And it's, you know, not out of the realm possibility when you're arguing about, like, sporting. It's not hard to see, like, oh, you've got all these people who are so dedicated to following these Russian athletes, who this is a fan, basically a fan, like an army behind all of these athletes, that could argue against the potential banning. So having that kind of public image of their athletes being so strong is definitely going to be something that will work in their favor in the months going forward in relation to the ban.
I also just don't think that the athletes should be punished for something that is a systematic problem.
Yeah. Part of their control, yeah.
Yeah, it's a problem with the Federation. It's not a problem with the athletes.
I think just, it's going to be interesting, I guess. This whole Euros was kind of a mess. I'm interested to see how much all of this messiness affects Worlds and the rest of the season as a whole, especially in comparison to how four continents will go in just a bit over a week now. So, I guess we're going to have to wait and see what happens. Okay, so our shout out of the week for this week goes to the arena host at the Euros, who decided that he really wanted to go into the audience and talk to people during resurfacings, you know, get everyone hyped up for the competition ahead. He was asking people, like, how did you get invested in figure skating? Who are you here to see? He even went up and asked Vladimir Litvinsev, who competes for Azerbaijan, in the audience about why he was here as, like, a fan and who he was there to support. And he said something to the tune of, like, oh, I'm going to be competing in, like, 30 minutes, so...
Awkward. Also, I would like to do a little shout out to the volunteers, because I have friends that were volunteering there. I didn't go because I didn't sign up for it. But a lot of volunteers just did not show up to Euros. So people who were there did have to do double shifts and work multiple jobs in order for things to run smoothly, because they were really understaffed. So shout out to the volunteers for all of those who acted professionally whilst also having to be there from 7 a.m. till midnight.
Good on you guys. Good job, guys. Pat yourselves on the back. You deserve it. Good on you. Thank you guys so much for listening. We hope to see you again for our next episode.
And thank you to our transcribing and quality control team. Also, Evie for editing and Gab for our graphic design.
If you want to get in touch with us, then please feel free to contact us via our website, inthelowpodcast.com, or on Twitter or Instagram. You can find our episodes on YouTube, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify.
If you enjoyed the show and you want to help support the team, then please consider making a donation to us on our coffee page, or you can buy our merch on Redbubble. And we'd like to give a huge thank you to all the listeners who have either donated to us or bought our merch. It really helps us out. It pays for stuff like our podcast subscriptions and our website, and you guys really make a difference in the overall upkeep of this podcast. So thank you.
You can also find all the links to our social media pages and to your coffee on the website.
If you are listening on iTunes, please consider leaving a rating and a review if you enjoyed the show. Thanks for listening. This has been Gina,
Neve,
and Evie. See you guys for Four Continents.